Well, it's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the cold face with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Welcome, Mr. Creamer.
Thanks, Caesar.
From cars to cables, the microdot is the hot new crime fighter.
Yeah, I know the microdot technology. Yeah, it's now on 500,000 cars in South Africa, and already 6,300 cars have been recovered as a direct result of having these microdots. Now they spray about 10,000 microdots onto the car in various places, and each of these microdots has got a VIN, which is a vehicle identity number. They can put 17 numbers onto a pinhead size of dot that you can't even see with your naked eye. You need ultraviolet assistance plus magnifying systems to see this number, and these dots are spread far and wide across the car, and they even blew up a car recently to think, well, will we find these dots afterwards? And they could still identify the car from these dots. So all of a sudden, from January the 1st, it was supposed to be law, you know, but the amendments haven't been done to the Act. But despite that, you know, all new cars coming out are virtually micro dotted. The only problem now is with the older cars, because you know, that was the problem, that they would scrape off the chassis number. So the police, even if they recovered the vehicle, they wouldn't know whose vehicle it was. There was no proof. And so, in fact, 12,000 cars are actually scrapped a year. They've just crushed, which is about R1 billion. But now with this microdot slowly coming in, I'm sure there could be a change to that. And then cable theft. You know, they're putting the microdot thread into the cables. We know of the problems with our robots and telephones when the cables are stolen, and they're now able to identify those and identify the owner. So a person in a scrapyard can't just sit with cable and say, oh, I don't know where it came from. We picked it up on the street or something. They can say, oh, no, this is the owner right here. Take the cable back to him. So, you know, that sort of activity is going on.
And what has delayed the legislation around this?
I think they haven't gotten the admin in place quickly enough, because it seems that the amendments haven't been made to the Act.
And how long has this sort of technology been around?
Well, we've been talking about it now for 2 years, and it has spread deeply in. We see jewellery even is being covered with micro dots so that they can recover that. DVD sets. There's also a do-it-yourself micro dot that you can buy and put in.
Good Lord. Well, new movies are afoot to have South Africa's taxis manufactured. Look, why didn't we think about this before?
Can you imagine the quantum taxi that we see around there? It's imported. I mean, all these quantums around it, until 2007, when we saw those popular Siyayas taxis around, they were all locally manufactured. Then we had this taxi recap program, and there were some tentative moves there, and we ended up with the Quantum, which is now an imported vehicle. So the Department of Trade and Industry has gone along to Toyota and said, look, can't we do something about this? And it won't come under the APDP, which is the Automotive Program and Development program. A new program is going to be set in place to make sure that we can manufacture these taxis locally. But of course, Toyota is the dominant figure, but Volkswagen is looking in the background. They're saying they also want a half tonne, they also want to come in. So perhaps there'll be some sort of competitive juices, but we've noted that Toyota has dominated this for a long time.
Would that then just be an extension of the current businesses, or would they actually bring in new players and therefore spread, if you will, the economic cake around a little bit more?
You remember the last time they tried to bring in new players, it was an abject failure, and Toyota just marched ahead, particularly with that Siyaya until 2007, and now they're still the most visible product around with the Quantum.
Okay, now there are only 6 months to go before the Gautrain project takes its final lap.
Yeah, you know, it was supposed to be 3 months. We were supposed to have it in March 27, and they couldn't make it. Now it's the end of June, and the two pieces that are got to be put in place now, because we already have the stretch from the OR Tambo Airport to Sandton, and really more than 1 million commuters have used that very successfully. But now the other pieces of jigsaw are Sandton to Johannesburg and Sandton to Pretoria, and those two are at an advanced stage, and they will be completed part of this 80-kilometer, 26 billion rand project by the end of June. And I'm looking at pictures right in front of me here, and they show you that, you know, Pretoria Station, I can even see the picture of the ticket vending machines and fare gates already in. Hatfield Station, I can see the tiling on the walls. Rosebank Station, also far advanced, and Centurion to Pretoria, that stretch, you know, I can already see that there are trial runs of trains going along there. But what you can't see, the less visible side of this, is the legal fights that are going on here. Now, talk on the street is that the lawyers are making a lot of money out of this. I also hear on the grapevine that one of the French companies that was involved, the very large Bouygues company, they've already written off 2 billion rand on this project, I hear that Marion Roberts may be facing quite a big write-off. So that is the reality of these projects, you know, not all beer and Skittles, you know.
This kind of project is 50 years down the line, then people really appreciate it, and then its value really comes to the fore.
Exactly.
But what is interesting for me, Martin, is the amount of infrastructure development around the stations themselves, in terms of new buildings, new hotels, and can you speak to that a little bit?
That is the lifestyle, and that is where these things will pay for themselves. And you know, the operation of these rails is also in the hand of some of these consortiums that were involved in the construction. So they've got to look long term. But in the short term, they are short-changed. But again, this is not a one-day wonder. It goes over a long period, and we are hoping that this will be the start of many, a spread of the rapid rail, and also a spread of a new lifestyle. As you say, there's property nodes all around there. There will be bakeries that offer people bread on the station. There will be all sorts of spin-offs, and that is where a lot of the value lies.
Martin Creamer is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly, and as always, he will be back at the coalface at the same time next Friday. Thank you very much, Martin.
Thanks, Isa.